we continue to criminalize drug addiction. We're not treating it.
GOP candidate Carly Fiorina's stepdaughter died from a drug overdose in 2009, and she's made fighting heroin addiction an important part of her campaign stump speech.
And the system we have today is part of the problem.
Fiorina isn't the only one. Governor Jeb Bush's daughter has also struggled with addiction, and Bush wants to change the direction on drug policy should he ever make it to the White House.
I believe we can solve this, but it has to be from the bottom-up approach. My personal belief is that America does best from the bottom up, and that the federal government should be a partner for successful programs rather than telling which line you're supposed to get in and which form you're supposed to fill out.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently found that use of heroin has increased across the United States, regardless of gender, income level, and age. The rate of heroin-related deaths quadrupled between 2002 and 2013 in the U.S. It's not a new issue for the people of New England. Reporter and editor Sean Corcoran knows this well. He first covered Massachusetts' heroin epidemic more than a decade ago and recently returned to this story for our partner WGBH Boston.
Well, in 2004, I started to notice in the obituaries that there were some young people there, late teens, early 20s, and some reporting told me that they weren't dying from car accidents. So I found out that they were dying from heroin overdoses, which wasn't something that was very common or well known. Young people were using pain pills, and when they couldn't get their hands on them anymore, they would switch to heroin, which was so strong at the time that you could sniff it and just to kind of take away any withdrawals that they were feeling. So there was a whole new generation of heroin addicts on the North Shore of Boston.
And you found individuals who were affected by all of this and followed them. Describe one in particular.
We thought it was really important to make the point that this was a middle class, upper class, every economic strata of society problem. And I found a young man, he was 22 at the time, named Sean Harnish, and he was a graduate of a local private Catholic high school. On weekends, he would party with his friends. Friday night might try a pill of some sort, an opiate of some sort. Saturday night might try it again. Next weekend, do it Thursday night. Pretty soon, you're doing it four nights a week, he would tell me this. And then you were feeling dope sick. And that's how he found his way to heroin. So I found him in a little motel room in the city of Beverly. Just the saddest thing you've ever seen. I remember this white blanket he had on his bed. And it had must have been hundreds of cigarette burns. So every time that he used heroin and fell asleep with a cigarette in his hand, he would make a burn in that blanket.
And going back to check out what's changed in 10 years, how is Sean?
Sean is doing well. I wasn't sure if he was alive. He was so close to death. The last time I saw him, he was actually in prison. But I found him at his mom's house, and he is clean. He got clean after a second stint in jail, this time 30 months in jail. He had a three-year-old daughter by his side, and it was just, it was amazing. It was amazing to see him on the other side.
And he had just as clear recollections of those dark days as you do. Listen.
I mean, it was a 24-hour a day, 7 day a week hustle. Like up at 8 a.m., out till 9 p.m., just so I could feel a little high from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. before I passed out and just had to do it again. It was just a sick cycle that you can't get out of. And even if you want to, there's nowhere to go to get out of it. That was always the problem.
What helped him? What was key to his apparent recovery?
He talks about a drug called Suboxone. It blocks the opiates, so if you take heroin, you don't get an effect from it at all. But it allows addicts to get out of the lying and dying and stealing lifestyle and actually be able to get a job and function again without feeling dope sick all the time. So he talks about it as a miracle drug. That took him a while to get off that one, but it was the support that he needed.
I want to do something that's going to underscore the real value in this reporting that you've done here. I'm going to play some tape of your former editor at the Salem News in Massachusetts, and she's reading something, and I want you to tell me whether it refers to something from 10 years ago or today, the heroin problem in the very same community that we're talking about here. This is Karen Andres.
A heroin epidemic has hit the North Shore, and the victims are not the usual suspects. They are middle-class kids from the suburbs who start experimenting with prescription drugs for fun. But before very long, they are addicts desperate to find the next fix.
So which is it, today or 10 years ago?
Karen Andreas is reading a story that we worked on together from 10 years ago. When she finished reading that, she put it down and said, we could print that today because things are not better. They're actually worse, but it's the same type of problem going on.
And the very things that Sean Harnish talks about not being available to him as a heroin addict 10 years ago are still not available?
It was really remarkable. I went to see this district attorney in Essex County in Massachusetts, John Blodgett. He was in my original series, you know, 11 years ago. John Blodgett started to say, until we have the political will to have treatment on demand, to give people a way out of this hell that they're in, we are not going to have a solution to this problem.
We can talk about this issue, but until political leaders have the will to step up and tell their constituents that we're going to expend whatever that figure is, it may be billions of dollars, to provide treatment on demand or long-term treatment, we're not going to get out of this problem.
So do you think John Blodgett's plea is being answered by the presidential candidates that are suddenly seeming to make this a campaign issue, this heroin problem around the country?
We're hearing a lot from the presidential candidates about this issue because they can't avoid it. I think they find themselves in the same position that the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, finds himself. He was running for election in 2014. Everywhere he went, this is what people wanted to talk about. He had to change his agenda. I think the presidential candidates are up in New England are hearing about this everywhere they go, and they've had no choice but to kind of react to it and try to come up with proposals to solve it. I don't hear a lot of people, if anyone, talking about treatment on demand, no matter what the cost.
Treatment on demand, that would be the code word, the takeaway, the sort of test to see whether the issue is being taken seriously. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair. And as John Blodgett said, sometimes you have to tell people you're going to have to raise some taxes. And, you know, politicians don't like to talk about that.
Sean Corcoran, senior reporter and news director at WCAI on Cape Cod and managing editor for our partner WGBH. He loves to talk about taxes, as do I. Sean, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.